sing. Look how he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. He turned my mourning back into dancing. He turned my weeping into a shout again. And now I'm singing, look how he lifted me. Come on, let's sing that again this morning. He turned my mourning back into dancing. He turned my weeping into a shout again. And now I'm singing, look how he lifted me. He rolled my sorrows away at Calvary. He rules in triumph over the enemy. Oh, hallelujah, look how he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. His grace and mercy, it's my testimony for every victory. I've got a song to sing. Look how he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. When nothing else could help, your love came down. Your love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. When nothing else could help, your love came down. Your love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. When nothing else could help, your love came down. Your love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. His grace and mercy is my testimony for every victory. I've got a song to sing. Jesus, he lifted me. His grace and mercy is my testimony for every victory. I've got a song to sing. Look how he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me. Jesus, he lifted me.
Be tried by fire. You're wanna burn for you, only for you. Take my life as a sacrifice. I wanna burn for you, only for you. So
this morning to read. One is found in Psalms 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. And the other one was Micah 6:8b. This is what our Lord requires: to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God.
Jesus. living there is hope and there is freedom. I ask for Jesus.
The street, Jesus.
Jesus.
One more time, we'll get you guys in their spirit.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Claim it.
Jesus.
I can sing about it, you gotta claim it.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Is that all there is peace within your presence? And I speak Jesus. Won't speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within His presence. I speak Jesus.
Your name is healing. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name. Lord, we thank you that that name right now today has broken every yoke, has broken every chain, has brought people into salvation. Lord God, if there be anything in this atmosphere that is causing people not to hear you, not to feel you, not to get into your presence, we come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are moving on behalf of your people right now because we speak the name of Jesus over them. If you've got somebody in your family, if you've got somebody that you just know needs a touch from Jesus, just cry out their name. It doesn't have to be loud if it's something you want to just keep between you and God, but just say, Lord, I thank you for this person. Father, I thank you for the people that I have in my heart that I'm praying for, Lord God. I speak Jesus over them because, Lord God, it says in your word that every name that is named will bow to the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I thank you. Hallelujah, that disobedience will bow to the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you that offense will bow to the name of Jesus. I thank you every sickness and disease named under the sun will bow to the name of Jesus. I thank you that depression right now bows to the name of Jesus. I thank you suicide right now bows to the name of Jesus. Depression bows to the name of Jesus. That angry, haughty spirit in here, I tell it to bow to the name of Jesus. No more will you walk away from here and get so angry that it'll cause you to act outside yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hey, did you hear what she said? If you have an angry or haughty spirit, you saw what I did. I bowed at the foot of the cross. The foot of the cross brings redemption. One, two, three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I'm just going to talk to you for a minute while she looks for another song, because I feel that too. We should do another song. I want you to know it's a brand new day. Every day is brand new when you come into Jesus. Your past only has to last as long as you allow it. Did you hear what I said? The Lord doesn't see your past. How could David be a man after God's own heart if God could see his past? Do I need to talk about what David did? I don't need to mention Bathsheba. We already know, right?
Right.
But that's why God said, David's a man after my own heart. And you're like, what? Because all God could remember is that when he sent him to slay the lion and the bear just for stinking sheep in the natural, he knew what he would do in the spirit.
Yeah.
Song yet?
Yeah.
Listen, to the men, I'm going to preach to you a private series on David and why he could be a man after God's own heart. I got a treasure to share with you during that. Come up here for a minute. Yeah, you. Just stand there right there. Why in the world would you come to church with a black cross? Why would you come to church with a black cross on your shirt? I thought the cross stood for red. That's a nice shirt. You have to tell me later what it means to you. Philip, come stand over here, please. When we go to the cross, with all humility, did you guys plan to wear this shirt? Did I go over this with you or anything? So we're just here, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Five. Listen, if you come to the cross and you have any black or darkness in there, it's okay. Not that you have that in you. I'm going to get me one of these shirts. I'm just using this as an example. It's just a good example. But if you were having a bad, dark day, or like David, the thing he always did was come to the foot of the cross. When he sinned, when he did wrong, lots of times we run off and run for a season to be on our own. David never did that. He came immediately to the Lord. As such, he had a big heart of hearing God, both the war against the bears and the lions. There's no lions and tigers and bears, just bears and lions. That was fantasy, like Walt Disney World. Lions, tigers, and bears. But anyhow, you can come here like this. Good illustration. But there's a transition from super dark to light, and then see how he has this light shirt on. In a moment of time, repent, God the Father touches, and here you walk out like this. So now he can now turn his back on his darkness, and it's gone. And now he's like this young man, resurrected. Well, he's a little shorter than you, so it didn't play out exactly perfect. But yeah. But you get the idea. That you come to the foot of the cross with a dark heart, sins, problems. People have cussed you, abused you. Maybe you've done your own wrong. But in a moment of time, just like I was over there at the foot of the cross, now we're in the light, we're healed. Philip, you're just living all up in the blessing. So now we had black cross. Keep that shirt. I want one. I'm not getting on your back. It's okay to wear that at church. And when I asked you why you got a black cross, I seriously thought maybe there was a reason, but you're just wearing it because it's cool, right?
Because I'm rooted in Christ.
What?
Because I'm rooted in Christ.
So now we know you can't just have a cross. It has to be rooted. Repent, Father, heal, save. You both get to walk away light. And no longer dark.
Disappointment.
Sunday's empty too. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones ready. This is the breeze making tender heart. Open the break, I'm calling out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. So fire, stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. Resurrection power runs in my veins too. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live, gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Thank you. chains make a dead man walk again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of trouble rattling.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo!
Yes! Jesus!
Yes. What is this?
That's your mic.
No, my mic goes here.
Your mic is broken. I'm getting you a new cord this week, but that's a cord that's 2 weeks old.
Honey.
Oh, don't.
Part of what keeps me together nice professional on Sunday is having that lapel microphone.
I know it. It's coming. It's coming. Okay, you can go. You can go in your office, come back out when you're in a better mood about your microphone, then you can preach. And that we used to tell our kids. Aww. Praise God if it works. Amen? No, we are getting him a different microphone. He just thought it would be in by now. It's not in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you yelled out a name to God today, whether inside of you or out loud? Listen. This is how many people is going to be touched by the Lord today. I believe that he said it, he'll do it. I don't believe there's anything God tells you that he's not willing to do. I told you the story about Phil seeing that vision in about 1994. We were living in sin in 1992. Got married finally in 1993. And in 1994, he gave Phil a vision. So let me tell you what, I don't care what you did yesterday. Don't care. If you repented over it and you have turned to God and you've turned. And repent is not, oh God, I'm sorry I did that and come back and do it again. Oh God, I'm sorry I did that and come back and do it again. Listen, you have got to make a change. Repenting means turning from that thing and never returning to it again. Amen? Amen. I don't care what you did yesterday. It's under the blood. If I would have smacked Phil 5 minutes ago, not on purpose, it's under the blood. It's right. No, I'm just kidding. Don't you smack your husband and say it's under the blood. I'm just telling you, some of you are so stuck in what you did yesterday that you won't take a step for God today. And it is just a lie of the enemy keeping you down, keeping you pushed back where you think that you can't move forward. And it's time to get up. It's time to start stepping forward. It's time to start thanking God for everything that he's done for you, even if you don't see it done yet. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. So we got the women's conference coming up. Woo-hoo! So we've got plans well underway. If you are here and you want to help, I'm going to have a few ladies stand up because these are our leaders. Jeannie, will you stand up? Stacy's already standing up. Marie, you can stand up for greeters. What am I missing? All of you stand up. Okay, these are some leaders of some areas that we are going to have going on. And if you would like to help in those areas, you go see one of these ladies. Oh, Darlene, she's not here, is she? Okay. All right, that's okay. So Holly's in charge of prizes and door giveaways, the door prizes and stuff. That's Holly. What some of us have done, and if you want to do it, you are more than welcome to do it, but you are not obligated to do it. Please hear that. What some of us has done is bought gifts or a basket and put stuff in it ourselves, and it represents us, and we were praying over that thing, and we're going to give it for this event as a door prize. If you would like to do that, see Holly. If you'd like to help her find other door prizes, Holly is begging. See Holly. All right, Jeannie is going to be over ushering that day, so if you would like to help with that, see Jeannie. Maria's over hospitality, so the greeting of people when you come in the door, if you would like to help with that, please see Marie. And oh, I should probably, for the, Marie, wave. That's Marie. Jeannie, will you wave? Because some people might not even know names. And then we've got, back there, we got Stacy, and she is in charge, and her and Alicia are in charge of decorations. So if you'd like to help with any of those things, see Stacy. Amen? You're not in charge of anything. No, actually, that's not truth. Men, he is in charge of food, kind of, under supervision. He is an amazing, amazing cook. Like, I'm serious. But he might need a cleaning crew to clean up after
him. Hallelujah, amen. I do.
He's an amazing, amazing cook. And so he's gonna cook for us. And then, men, if you would like to help serve the women, come see Pastor Phil.
It's not a question as if you'd like. Men, you are going to help serve the women. If you'd like.
If you'd like.
You can talk that way to ladies, but when you talk to Kenton men, we talk straight. Can I get an amen, men? Can I get an amen, men?
I was going to say, I didn't hear many
Thank
men.
Thank you. Can I get it one
amen.
More time? Amen! Oh!
He's a bit extra again today. Don't know what he ate. I wasn't in charge of him after
hey,
we got here.
Babe, listen. I'm ready to come up here under authority and be
okay, you ready for me to sit? Well, we have.
No, you don't sit. Keep doing. I'm just letting you know I'm ready.
You're excited.
And
I don't want to
no,
keep you.
I'm gonna
okay, so real quick, we do have
calm,
the celebration.
Even though I have my regular Thursday night mic.
The celebration. That is my mic. Quit doing that. Oh. That is a celebration of life today. Little Mr. Judah, we're going to celebrate him today right after
Woo!
Service.
Praise God.
It's an all skate.
Life,
Everybody
life,
is
life.
Welcome. Amen. That's what we call when we all sing the song together. It's an all skate.
Amen.
Or you, your name.
It might be my name, all skate.
One time Phil joined our worship team, I don't know. You were here when he sang with us for about a year and a half or so. And we were all doing songs. Logan had a song, Linda had a song, I had a song. And he's like, where's my song? And we said, and there was another song that said all skate on it. And that just meant all of us were singing it together. He said, okay, I'm changing my name to Allskate, so I have a song too. So anytime you hear him claim the name Allskate means he wants to do it. Amen. And then what else do we have got? We got Christy Amico.
Amen.
Come in September 30th,
yeah,
Thursday night here
God.
At 7 o'clock. He'll be here Friday at 7, and then he'll be back with us Sunday morning at 10. If you didn't get here the last time, listen, I am not exaggerating. Who was here? Am I exaggerating that they want to be here when Chris comes back? Come on. You want to be here. He is a powerhouse. We had amazing service with him. I'm excited that we get to do more than just one service with him coming up. And I think that's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to sit down.
I guess so. Are we supposed to release the children right now? Is that what's supposed to happen then?
I'm really prepared, people. But the Lord did change my message a little bit. So I have to go with it. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
I hope you are, because it doesn't matter. I'm in unity with the Lord. I can ask their opinion. Doesn't mean I'm going to listen to it. But I can get your heart and see where you're at. I can test the atmosphere. But listen, I love every one of you. Amen. Oh, thank you. Babe, I let you sit down during this so that if I say something you don't want to be a part of, you don't got to worry about it. I need everybody in here to understand this. The true author and leader of this church always will be the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We prepare during the week. These guys worship, they fast, they pray, and we prepare. And listen, I won't tell us exactly our pattern, but we put our list out. It's judged by three of us in prayer, at least that many. Then we go ahead and seal it up. Sometimes your pastor is rude, because even though he's not on the worship team, I will say, nope, I want this song last. Nope, I'm a spoiled baby today. I want this song first. I am a brat and I just want to be in... No. I'm submitted to God, so if I change the list, it's only because the Lord directs me. And I position every song where I believe God needs me to that day. So let me tell you something. You can suggest songs that you'd like for us to listen to, right? Yeah. How does that work? Come up here. How does that work? Ooh, I'm making you work today.
You are. I'm sweating. Ooh. That works by just either sending your song that you would like to Linda or to myself. Now, we always back this up even with our own selves, is that if you're going to get your feelings hurt if we don't do your song, then we say don't put the song forth to us. Amen? Because that's the last thing we want is your feelings to get hurt, because we don't do every song that's presented. But if you send a song and God sparks our spirit with that song, then we will do that song. Amen? And it goes through at least three people praying over it and listening for God to say yes or no.
Amen. So in other words, this is an atmosphere that you have to live a certain lifestyle to be a part of this worship team. And you can all talk to me about that. But understand this. It's not like I just get to come up here on Sunday and sing a song because I feel unctioned to. Now, I might, because I'm an authority. And if I want to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Or my mama's favorite, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. Of course, I have changed the words to that. You know, your light ain't little. It's a Holy Ghost light. It can be seen from anywhere in the universe or atmosphere. Devil! Oh, see, he just ran. But listen to me. So I got different words like God-given light. Megalight, Holy Ghost light, resurrection light. All of those, I'm going to write my own song and put my own lyrics in it because I can. But anyhow, we'll talk about that later. What I really want to talk about just for a minute is the authority around the pulpit and the anointing. Did you guys see that young lady who we were glad to have here talk good words about our church, but she sat in that corner and couldn't move? I'm not talking mean about her. But that lady has went through all kinds of churches hijacking the service because she thinks she's all this and a bag of chips. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you what's going on so we can learn spiritual things as a church. But you see here, she could only sit there until I had our women pray for her. If you weren't here, just ask. That girl thought she was going to come up here and take my mic. Okay, no more. Listen, when you have a word, come up here. Now, because some people are unlearned, I might help you. I might say, well, yes, you can go say that in front of the church, and yes, da-da-da-da-da. But there comes a point where you have to grow up enough to know that in this church, we don't do flesh, we don't do nothing. If you feel a word, come up here and give it. During the service worship, three words can be given. That are words of prophecy or prophetic intent. Three. Now, if someone comes up here and does more of a little teaching, or if someone comes up here and just gives a testimony, that's not a prophetic word. So I might let four things happen that service. Three prophetic, one testimony. Or two testimony, one prophetic. Something like that. But understand, three is the limit. So if I was you, if I didn't come up with three times, I wouldn't even risk going up again. This is not Pastor Phil. This is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. How many want more revival in our church? Amen. How many want more revival? Amen. See, listen. If y'all don't want me jumping and screaming, don't sleep in the service. Because if you sleep and I'm going to jump. Because you need to wake up because this is your life. There's a man I know that in his service, if you were sleeping, he'd say, you stand up. You're going to stand the rest of the service. Other guys, he'd say, okay, listen, you're going to stand up and hold your Bible the rest of the service because this is the second time you fall asleep in my service. And I know I ain't He said, well, it could be your preaching. He said, you little liar. You're out drinking, smoking. I won't say the other words, he said. But the reason you fall asleep in here is because you're up when you shouldn't be, and the devil's closing your eyes and shutting your ears so you can't hear life in here. So don't be falling asleep in here, or I might automatically think that you up partying, stepping into the club. I might think something crazy about you, and I don't want to think that. I always think the best of you. But don't sleep in my service. Pinch yourself if you have to. Now, Brother Bob, if Brother Bob falls asleep in my service, he's more than welcome to. He's got a lot of outside stuff going on. But this man has so much wisdom that I've tried to tell him, you can stay home, we'll put you here. No, he's like, Pastor Phil, I got to be in service. So if he slobbers and falls asleep, I drool. Hallelujah. Praise God. But listen, and there's going to be other people. You might see me bring a druggie in and give them front row seating. Hallelujah. Get your attitude down. Get your nose out of the air before something falls in it and you drown or kill yourself. And pray for that person when I do crazy stuff like that. Okay? Because we love Bob, right? And he's going through a battle with his beautiful wife and our aunt, Miss Sally. All that in a bag of chips, according to Bob and all of us. So if he's sick or if he has to go to the restroom or anything, just ignore it and let's let the presence of God heal him. Because they can do all the work they want to do, but they're just guessing.
Thank you, Pastor Phil.
There's one that's anointing him and healing him. Amen. So leave him alone. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. You're welcome. Now, with that being said, I just want to tell you one more time. This is the order of the service. Whatever I say goes after I heard from God, vetted by my sweetie pie and my counsel, because some of you might not know it. But, well, just understand this. Pastor Dosik has an apostolic anointing over this house. We're in contact all the time. So I submit to authorities all around me, all over me, even those authorities. Yeah, amen. Because here's what you don't know. My first authority is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The very next authority in my life, whether you like it or not, stick your nose up, don't like it or not, after God, it is my wife. And it's even my son, Philip, because God says first him, then your family, and your wife especially. Philip knows that if he tried to override my authority to say something about him and his mom or what we're going to do as a couple, he wouldn't even do it. He wouldn't even go there. Come up here. Come up here. If you want to be up here, come up here. Don't threaten your child. But seriously, Philip would never speak up towards me and mom's relationship. He'd say, Dad, I'm praying for you. But he would never try to tell me, Dad, you're going to do this, or I'm going to help you, you're going to do this. Boy, I would roll that boy. Why? Why? Yeah, I'd pay for it later. You and him both would be trying to roll me. You'd be trying to hold me back, and I'd go, bah! Woo! You can ask Philip the reason he's not scared. I got a friend of mine. Remember Donald? Donald would say, I'd say, Donald, this woman keeps it up. Donald would say, you ain't Phil. Anyhow, that's a story. But no, listen, seriously, I'm going to give you some straight up talk for a minute. Listen, in your personal life, it's God first, then your spouse, then you work hard to reverence your children, then your pastor and your church. Then your natural job, which is also a God assignment. Then vocation, activities, and all that other stuff. If you twirl that properly, you're going to live an abundant, blessed life. If you trip it up, you can get messed up. So I'm just starting right now. So here in this church, It's God first, then it's me and her. And it's like not like me and her down, it's me and her same level. So during a worship service, if someone asks me about something and I forget, and Miss Regina doesn't know it, when she comes out here, she says, Pastor Philip told you what? Well, he didn't tell me, so that ain't happening. I expect you to go to sit up, shut up, sit down, and be glad till next time. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, I'll do a lot more training on this, but these are important things because do you want the Holy Ghost to manifest here? Do you want more miracles than you've ever seen in a church happen here? Then number one, get your own personal prayer life. Get your worship in early order. When you're broken because you've had a tough week, but you've been fighting the good fight, come in here. We're going to be strong for you. When you're broken because you got a lot of mess going on, clean that up. Then we can help you. But we're going to love you till you do. Because if I'm in unity, she's in unity, and the congregation is in unity, then Psalms 133 says the anointing can come, and it's such a commanded blessing and dripping of oil that that's the kind of atmosphere Jesus was in when everyone's bounds were loosed and everyone was healed. Amen. I'm going to do my part. You can see how she gets on me. She's going to do her part. The worship team is doing their part, amen? Are they throwing down or what? I said, are they throwing down or what? So now with that being said, I got to tell you something. We're about to see an abundance of miracles and people come to the church so much that... What? Are you okay? Am I talking too much? Okay. But I've talked enough. Oh, okay. Okay, all right. I'm just checking in, baby. So I'm gonna start doing some additional teachings on Saturdays, different days, because if you got an interest in anything, bring the subject and I'll start teaching on it eventually. Okay? But here, for us to have the blessing of God on a Sunday morning, I gotta be in unity with God and Pastor Dosick. I'll tell you more about that. I then gotta be in unity with my wife. And then I got to be in unity with this worship team. And then I need you as a church congregation to be in unity here because it's not all our job. Words of prophecy's got to come from you guys. Testimonies of healing's got to come from you guys. Testimonies about your personal growth have got to come with you guys. That's why in November, we're going to have Thanksgiving Sunday mornings with Thanksgiving for the blood. And the word of your testimony. 1, 2, 3 a week. And it's not going to be chaotic because I got a plan that my wife and I are going to discuss. And you who are already asked to should be writing your testimonies out right now, this month, to get them to me as early as you can in the month of October. If you don't get your testimony into me by the 15th of October, you're disqualified from giving a testimony. At least for the month of Thanksgiving or until I say. Don't you love how I am? Not from life or from faith, but giving a testimony during the time period I'm asking you. Now, don't mean that after Thanksgiving time or on a Thursday you can give a testimony, but on a Sunday morning, if you ain't been vetted, whoo, so you want to be at the first of the line. You just told me you already got yours written. Oh, you're praying over it. You haven't released it to me because I was going to say, where's it at? Okay, all right. Well, then, yeah, you keep it till you're ready. Amen. But I'm telling you, people are going to give their testimonies to us because I can only let you be up here 3 minutes. I can't have you up here for an hour like I am. So we're going to get bullet points and review. But it doesn't mean it has to be exactly perfect when you give it either. Amen. We're just going to start working together in a way that glorify God. Because if we come in here worshipful, and we come in here before we even touch the building and got through a tough week, shake ourselves, and we just come into the building, that's one for the Father. And then if we come in here submitted together and do worship right and test, that's two for the Son. And we get to the end of worship and all that, doing what's right in unity. No attitudes, no, I wonder what she's wearing, what she's thinking. Or, look, let's get that trash out of the sanctuary. But if we're in unity, then guess what? Three for the Holy Ghost. Miracles and explosions will be happening all over, and we'll be ready to run, right? Was that a good explaining? Without all the extra moves, you would explain that just calm, right?
No, I'd have been screaming.
See? I ain't screaming like Logan would have. Are you guys ready for your offering message? Was there any questions about what I just said? Listen, we don't design normally. I'm going to do it testimonies in Thanksgiving week month just to get you more used to it. But we don't design a service. We put worship songs together. Then we expect the words to come forth. By your automatic revelation and release of the joy or the unctioning of the Spirit at that time. Do you understand that? If you have questions, ask me later. But for our offering message this morning, I'm going to do something that I think I just did on Thursday night or sometime. Because in the body of Christ, especially nowadays, people are too interested in handouts. They think that miracles are something that just, oh, I can live any way I want and go before God, the miracle's going to happen. And they just think that everything in the kingdom is easy and there could be nothing farther from the truth. Life and things in the kingdom are not easy if you do them by yourself. But you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And then once the explosion of the Holy Ghost comes, boom! Then it's easier. But there's always going to be sacrifice, challenge, tears. You're not going to live a life as a Christian for even 2, 5, 10 years if you're pressing in and not have times where you're crying, repenting, and in tears. And you're certainly not going to live for God 30, 40 years without times of crying, pressing in tears, going back to the beginning. And da, 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 da. This is a faith life and a faith walk. Suck it up. You do for everything else. All sports, huh? Amen, amen. The sports queen be over here, Miss Regina. Superstar at softball, superstar at volleyball, superstar at basketball. And if they would have let her play football, she would have been a superstar at football. Amen. Amen. Let's be truthful. But listen, sports. Our job, our relationships with husbands and wife, friends, you know, Boy Scouts, football, anything you want to do. Isn't it weird how people will get beat up, yelled at, all kinds of stuff, and they keep going? But you come into church, all you need is one time for someone not to say hi or for the pastor to say something a little strong. Just give me one time and I'm out that door. You don't put God in a box like that. You don't do it in anything else. He's helped you with college, school, whatever you've done, God's helped you with. You haven't breathed. You didn't go poop without God helping you. Especially when you have those ones where you... Lord, he be. Anyhow, I'm just saying, listen, guys. I'm a little rough around the edges. You're going to get bumped by me every now and then. It's not intentional. I have a zeal for you to be blessed and to grow. And sometimes I just need to pull it back. And you might, you know, sometimes you might say something to me, cuss when we're calling a conversation or something. I'm not going to kill you over it. I might correct you a little bit, but we're just growing together. Relax and just grow with me. Is that fair? Honey, is that okay for me to say? Keep going. Amen. So this is how we're going to live. We're going to live together in this church like a family. We're going to accept our good times, our bad times. We're going to work hard like we do in the sun at our jobs. And you got guys, not you because you're so saved, but you got guys that you used to cuss at every day and leave mad, and the next morning you buy them a coffee and go to work. Let's just be people. Is it fair to say that? Is it okay? Now, there's a scripture in 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel 24:24, where King David needed to repent and get himself aligned with God. There was a king that came alongside him and said, David, the Lord has heard you. He's accepted you. So now you need to give him a sacrifice. And the king said, I got all this stuff I will give you that you can give to the Lord. Guess what David said? Do you think he said, oh, that's the blessing of God. Somebody's going to give me something to give the Lord, even though I've been out here in sin. That's the goodness of God. It's what kind of trash we try to teach nowadays. But when the king said, David, God has accepted you, you need to give him an offering. Is it 1 or 2 Samuel?
2 Samuel.
Ah, roti shehe. The king said unto whatever his name is, David said, no, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. That means I won't offer a sacrifice or even pretend to give God an offering that wasn't really mine and didn't cost me something. If I didn't pay a price to earn the money, if I didn't pay a price to repent, I can't give God a fake offering. I'll take your offering you gave me and I might throw it in the bucket later or have a sandwich on it. But for this one right now, I'm repenting. I'm coming back. Lord, this is on me. So David bought the... He didn't even try to get a deal on it. I'm going to study that out and show you he paid the most expensive price. So, did you say something? It must have been my mic. I thought you said Phil. But listen, it says, David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. In other words, he says, if I'm going to give God a sacrifice, it's going to be my best offering. It's going to be my best. Some of you have been serving God, but money's tight. So you want a new house, so you shave back the tithe a little bit. You do all these little things that you can control. Why are you believing God for something, but you're not giving him your best? Why are you believing God to anoint you to do something for him, but you won't give him the sacrifice of humbling yourself, repenting of your past, not being afraid of your past, getting over your past, and letting people love you? You don't have to be perfect. In fact, you cannot be perfect and be part of the church. Did you hear what I said? Now, we can come into a place of completion and perfecting and maturity, but you cannot be perfect and do everything right every time. See, like me, I didn't even wear my wedding ring today. I left it at home, dumb. I hate that. But I can't not preach because I forgot something in my flesh. But what I want you to know is that we're going to work on perfection while we're being perfected. And we're going to love each other. What? Okay. So we can't give God something without a sacrifice. So I want you, whether it's giving in church, whether it's giving, you know, to people, and don't, it's not a big deal. Listen, I was so broke that sometimes I'd go down and put lifesavers in the offering. And one day I even heard that pastor was asking, who's putting lifesavers in the offering? They happen to be one of my favorite kind of breath mints. You think I ever told him? To this day? No. You run your mouth. You run your mouth out of fast, then we got a problem. I love you. So anyhow, what we're going to do this morning is, from now on, when it comes to our offering or our tithe, it's going to be sacrificial. That doesn't mean it's a big number. Remember, there's a woman who came and gave God two pence, which was just barely two pennies. And it opened up the heavens so much for her that Jesus wrote about her in the Bible. Yeah. We won't even talk about the rich people that got more money than they lied about putting in the offering and how it cost them their life. We'll do that next week. Too much in 1 week. But I want you today to say, God, from now on, my offering is going to be sacrificial. Not in the mount. I hate it when on TV they say, send in your credit card, do anything. Liars. Cursed is the man that says that kind of stuff. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Don't take or add anything to God's word. God does not want you putting credit card debt out there. Now, he might. For one person, he might tell them to give an offering by their credit card, and it might work for them. But I can't set that out as a pattern. So let's not do that. Let's stick to scripture. So number one, what you're going to do is from now on, every offering you give is going to be sacrificial. Not in the mount, because your tithe and things are set. But what you're going to do is you're going to pray over your tithe and make sure that your spirit is clean before you give it. When you give an offering, even if it's a dollar or two, you're going to pray over that offering and make sure you're being led to the Holy Spirit. From now on, this is how I want you to think about offering and tithing and stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it make sense? Okay. So first now, I'm going to preach, but not too long. I know you guys are all worried because the time's getting away from us. But we're going to give our, let's just do this. Hold your, even though I did the offering now, I'm going to pray about it. And you're going to hold your offering to the very end. And we'll put buckets up here at the very end. Is that okay? I know that's not in your religious handbook of how to do a service. Blah, 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 blah. But it's in God's handbook, and it's in Only Believe Kenton handbook right here, because I said so. Not under my own authority, but by the Lord. So what we're going to do is we'll put offering buckets out here at the end and hold your offering till then, because I want it to be one of your purest offerings you've ever given. Because right now we're going to go into our topic, which is labor. Amen? I think it's funny that during the week, on a Sunday morning, we're talking about labor, work. Work at your job, working at your house, cleaning up your house, work at your neighbor's house, work at mom and dad's house, work amongst your friends, all that kind of stuff, lawn care, all that kind of stuff. So we are talking about that kind of labor. And we also mentioned childbirth. Labor, ooh, ooh, to give birth to something or to give birth to a baby. Ooh. Huh? What do you mean I don't know nothing about that? Remember when you were with Philip and I'd call you and tell you I had a labor pain that day?
Yes, but it was not true.
I mean, I'm not woman enough to give birth to the baby. But I did pray and ask the Lord to let me experience the pain that Regina had. Now listen, I will tell you what God told me. He said, boy, you ain't made for nor are you equipped to handle labor pains. He said, but I'll give you a sharp pain in the side right now just to give you a tweak of what it feels like. Boy, he hit me and I went, oh! He said, son, that was just a light touch. He said, women are built so much stronger. He said, from now on, when you look at that weaker vessel scripture, he said, understand that that's talking about physically. In the outward natural, he said, but physically for giving birth and physically for carrying burdens, she's physically stronger than you wimpy men. He said, now what, I need a bicep? It's me, baby. But if I need your son born, it's her. Listen, I'm going to teach you these kind of things because we need to know them. So labor, when it comes to a woman's labor in childbirth and all that, she's bearing that. You men, why don't you pray? See, what I think is interesting is Mary carried the burden at the beginning. She had the vision. But when she physically got labored with it and had the baby in her, Joseph took over. And he started figuring out where they were going to go, where they were going to stay in Jerusalem, what was the safest. I don't think that he actually stayed in a manger in a bar. Where'd he stay? In a barn or old, what was it?
It was a,
like a
manger.
It was a manger.
In an old barn, right? I don't think that they actually stayed there because God couldn't open up a room at an inn. God could give them favor. You are the one that carries the Most High. It was a strategic move between Joseph and God of where to put them, where they would be safe. The last place they'd be looking for a king is out in a manger. Wasn't that they didn't have money? It was the wisdom of God. See, you got to read the Bible with God in sight. You probably ain't never heard that before, and you've been in church how long?
Most of my life.
So labor, even for a baby to be born, there's a woman's part and there's a man's part. And if he's not a dog piece of trash, if he's even worth 10% of his snob, even before he's saved, if he's even worth 10% of his snob, he's going to be the kind of man that protects his... I've seen unmarried people, unsaved, living together, kind of like someone we know real close. But anyhow, they didn't have it all in order. They weren't married. They weren't the third generation and virgins only. But you could see that they took care of each other, loved each other, and the husband was very protective of the wife or girlfriend, wife-to-be. Here's the thing. Mary had a vision to have Jesus, but Joseph had to get visions to support the idea of marrying a woman who was pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Get your head around that one. Now we know why Joseph was chosen. But it was him who then had the dream on when they... See, everybody talks about Mary's dream, and I will, but what about the man? Even in the church, we've emphasized things so much that we've made our men weaker than they should be, and we've made our women have to be stronger than they should be, although they're already strong. Nobody concentrates on the fact that Joseph took over that dream part. Mary, you now rest and have this baby for 9 months. I'll be the one that I'll get a vision of where to take you, when to go, where to go, when to move, when not to move. I'll take care of that piece because you're carrying the baby now. See, we have never given Joseph his true authority as the father of Jesus and his true humility. I'm going to give you all that. Labor. Remember, our subject is labor. So we can labor and work in the natural jobs, work after school, grass cutting, go help the neighbor, love our neighbor. We work physical, especially men. Men can go to work. And then they go outside and start working, and their wives are upset. I'm proud of him because he worked all day, 50 extra hours, 70, 80 hours this week, and he brought a good paycheck home. But he must not love me at all, because as soon as he gets here and I feed him, he goes upstairs, and sure, he's creating that chair I wanted. But why is he out there working on that instead of being with me? Because he's focused on blessing you because you just fed him. Hello, can you hear me? You wanted extra clothes for the school kids' school year, so he worked extra hours to do that. But he's not forgotten that he said he'd build you a chair or do some work that you want him to do. So as soon as he gets done eating, you're ready to talk, and he's like, "Ooh, I got to go out to the shed for these last few hours," and then you got to be a wife. That's so frustrating. I wanted him to talk. Right after I fed him, I thought it would be a good time to talk to him about my agenda. No. Feed him, let him sleep, let him go to work. Then when you're snuggling up to him, that's when you smooze him up for whatever you want. Because he's thinking, I worked hard in that hot sweat, came home and she gave me something to eat, praise God. Gave me energy to come out here and work on my project, hallelujah. Now I got my shower, I'm all ready to go to bed. Honey, I want a Mercedes. You got it, girl. I got my Regina Itis eyes on. Woo! I got my Fred Flintstone eyes on. When I'm, you take it, baby, it's yours. So labor, is the physical is one aspect. Labor, physically work. First of all, guess who anoints your hands to work? I will bless whatever you put your hands to. Guess who invented manufacturing? Guess who loves GM and Honda and all those places, even with their overtime and their stupid schedules, which we're going to learn how to work on around, guess who created that stuff? God, I will give you witty inventions. I'll give you thoughts on how to be businessmen and women. Hallelujah. Shakalalako. That's from my world. I'll bless you. And I have anointed you to work. The Lord says, I will bless the very foot, the very ground where the soles of your feet will touch. So labor in the physical, he's given us all that, all right? Now, labor in the spiritual realm. There's fasting, prayer. Then it gets more advanced, going out and witnessing. It's one thing to lay hands on people in the church. Are you bold enough to lay hands on them at Walmart? Are you bold enough to lay hands on them at Walmart?
Yes.
Praise God. Shane will throw down because his name is Shane Christian Christ-like. Whoop. Anyhow, listen, in the world of faith, there's a part of labor, praying, you know, fasting. But, you know, as a church, we're very ungodly about how we approach those things. Our fasting isn't very serious. Doesn't go too long. We cheat oftentimes when we fast. We might fast food, but because we're fasting food, we gotta watch TV, we gotta watch shows. So even though we're fasting from food, we're filling our mind with all kinds of stuff that we can't pray about now because we got cuss words in there. But I had to do that in order to fast. No, get yourself outside away from your refrigerator. Have you some lemon water to drink. There's lots of things you can do to fight off. Quit putting yourself in a comfortable atmosphere. If you're comfortable at home when you fast, don't stay at home. Go to where your friends are that are filled with faith, not nasty stuff. But go around people that challenge your faith. Go work out. Oh, well, don't work out while you're fasting. That's for another talk when you get more advanced. So I didn't say don't work out and fast, but I'm just saying we're not ready yet. So there's other things that we do when we should be fasting, like we'll have a cussy fussy argument with someone during a fast. You just trashed it. You'll stay up watching movies late during a fast. You just trashed it. If you're going to fast and labor for the kingdom, protect it. Set yourself apart. Do some things because your labor in the spirit realm is different than labor in the natural realm. I'd rather have you have 15 minutes of righteous, true repentance or 15 minutes of really listening to God about how to do something than a week of fasting that's filled with all that other trash. And not me. This is what the Holy Ghost would prefer. That's why he pulls us apart. This is why he says, and then this is the other thing I hate. Don't react out of your emotionalism during a fast and think it's spiritual. It's not. For women, you got your cycle to deal with. You got all those emotions to deal with. So that's a part of what we have to work on getting better at. Men, you got your work cycle to deal with. You got the fact that you're usually eating to work and all that. So you got a lot of physical and natural things that need to be addressed if you're going to labor in fasting, prayer, and the spiritual things of God in the way he wants you to do. Am I making sense to you? We've talked about physical work. We've talked about labor between a husband and wife over their children, labor, because that's a type of work. That's one of the things that labor addresses. And now we're going to talk about what is most important labor that you do consistently all the time to make spirit, soul, and body work. So to make my job life work, what do I need to do? To make my physical life with my spouse and family, what do I need to do? And to make my soul life with my emotions and everything right, what do I need to do? Quite simple. Three words. Go to work. I do every day. Nope. I'm not talking about that. Go to work in the Bible. Study to show yourself approved. If you're at work, you should have a whole list of scriptures that you live out of about your work. Like me, when I get up in the morning and I'm getting ready to go to work, well, I got prayer patterns that are much more complex now. But when I first started, I would just pray, Lord, you bless the work of my hands. Give me strength today, God. I'm not my own. I'm not working on my job in the natural. Even though I'm just going to work and not church, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in me will cause me to work. I don't just work my natural job in my own intellect and my wisdom, though I learn intellectually and wisdom-wise. I've worked at companies for 25 years, and the minute I walk through that door, I'm learning in the physical as much as I can. But it's governed by the fact that greater is he who's in me that lives in this world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I used to love to work out, even when I was working 10 to 12 hours a day, because it would just prove that I wasn't working in the physical realm on my own strength. I was able to keep my schedule because of my spiritual life. Is that making sense to you? Are you guys with me? So now when we work in the natural, Shane, even though you're at work doing a natural job, you better be praying, asking God to bless it. What can I do? Who can I witness here for? God, make me better. I wanted to be the best assembly line worker here. Man, I did this one in 3 minutes. What's the record? Oh, the record is 2 minutes and 55 seconds to do that job. Really? And that was, you won't know this, but the Lord's probably saying, and Shane, that was an unsaved man. And all of a sudden you say, working. 3 months later, the buzzer goes off. Quality comes over and checks, says, Shane, you did your job too fast, so we're afraid you left something out, because we time this stuff, so we know how long it takes. And it's one thing for you to get to the record of 2:55, but you went down to 2 minutes and 15 seconds. How did that happen? The difference is 40. Wow. That's the regeneration of the blood. A generation, healing, Moses led them out. Wow, God just gave me the supernatural part of my job. So even though a natural man without me could do it in 2 minutes and 55 seconds, because I'm spirit-filled, I could do it in 2 minutes and 15 seconds. If you don't believe me, write down Daniel 1:20 and study it this week and then talk to me. You should be able to do a natural job better than any. I don't care if they're the best worker in the world. If they don't know God and they're just working on their natural ability, which God will bless to a degree till they get saved, then he can give it the full blessing. You still have the potential to be the best worker and should easily be the best worker because you have the unfair advantage of supernaturally being alive in God. Does that make sense? Are you with me? If you have questions, write it down and talk to me later, because I got to move on from that. So we've talked about physical labor. Listen, people would ask me, how do you handle? Now, I'm not going back to my job or back to where I used to work because I'm missing it or anything. I'm just telling you. People would come to me all the time and say, okay, you have the biggest department in the entire plant. You have 125 people, both hourly and salary. And I'd like to remind them, sometimes in the busy season, I temporarily have 130, 140, 150 employees. Back to 125. They said, so with 125, how do you do all this? Because we don't got people that can do that. I don't. Oh, so you don't really know your job. You just let other people do it. Yep. And then they say, no, what's the real reason? I said, I don't do my job. Boss, can you really handle the reason? He said, yeah. I said, I have two bosses. You, you're third. I said, Miss Regina is above you. I said, the only reason she's in second place and not first is the one above her has all the authority in the world. And she'd smack the fire out of me if I let her be boss instead of him. He said, what is that? I said, okay. I said, you're boss, you're here. I said, then Regina's on top of you. So even when we're in big meetings, I'll step out. If you see me stepping out, I'm talking to Regina. I says, and then the one in charge is Jesus. I want that to be you. Because that's how you're going to be most successful in life. Now, this is how Paul took those, applied it to himself, to his life, took that to apply it to his apostleship. And now we get to see why Paul was so great. And I'll get into the details of this again next week because we're going to finish this up next week. But 1 Corinthians, say 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, three portion of God's grace, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and verse 10. Woo! 10 means wholeness and completion. Wow. So if I want to learn how to work in the natural world, if I want to learn how to work in the spiritual world, and if I want to learn how to work on my soul and my relationship with my spouse and others, there is a three-string chord here that's going to be required. Remember, we started out with sacrifice as a part of stuff. Today, they tried to teach you, well, grace and mercy, hallelujah, covered your sin, and you can do what you want, live any way. You can be a whatever you want to be. Nope, that's not truth. Listen to what Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. In other words, I didn't take grace and just sit around saying, well, I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven. No, he took grace and it says, what is grace? Oh, it's the unmerited favor or kindness of God to give us a strength that we don't have on our own. So if I take this grace and I use it in every area of my life, it'll help with my character. It'll help me get rid of my fears. It will help me be a strong person. It will help me be kind, love people. So the first thing Paul discovered was his grace was not in vain. When he found out grace, he applied it to his work life. Remember, Paul was a man that preached all over, but he was also a tent maker. And he did tent making to prove to people that he wasn't after their money and stuff. So Paul was able, now he didn't have a wife, I don't think, did he? Not mentioned in the Bible, so we'll assume maybe not. But for right now, that's not important. But what we do see from Paul is that he was a preacher of the gospel. And he was anointed to do it. But he also was creative and worked in the physical realm. And he had a dual occupation, making tents, which back then was super innovative, people. Making a tent was like when we moved from horses to cars. Look it up. They used to build rocks. Never mind. We'll get into that later. But it was super innovative for that time. So he learned that when he labored and his grace was upon him, look what he says. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. In the physical workplace, in the kingdom of God, you don't see any other apostles saying, hey, no, you didn't. I prayed and fasted as much as you. Nope, they shut their mouth and submitted to what the authority is written in this Bible. This is a Bible. It's authority and truth. So Paul, if he was not the one that labored and prayed more abundantly, it would have been told, besides that, he wouldn't have written three quarters of the New Testament. God wouldn't let him write it. So if you want to be a writer of the New Testament, boy, you better fast and study and pray as much as Paul did. We'll get into that next week. I only want to give you a little bit. But look what he said. Because I labored more abundantly than all of you, yet not I, his humility kicks back in, but the grace of God which was within me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached and so ye believed. Now, we're going to stop right there for this week. So Paul's success for his work is that once the grace of God came and he found out who Jesus was, he got in that word and he got in prayer. And he got in study and fasting, and he just buried himself in that. Well, he's a preacher of the gospel. Stop! He was also a tent maker. Listen, you may never preach from the pulpit, but you must bury yourself in the word. Shh, fast, pray. If you just said, well, I'm just a mom. I know. Fast to pray, mama, and preach the gospel at home. Well, I just work. I'm just a dirt collector. I just pick up trash. fast and pray, read the word. You need it. We need the God life. See, what people want is that pastors should be on a certain schedule. You should fast, you should pray, you should do all this. Me, I just get to come and participate. No, I'm going to fast and pray and do my part on my pattern, but you best believe that you got patterns of prayer, fasting, and pray that must come into your personal life. And it doesn't matter if we're sitting up here like Miss Amy, who's already got her testimony written. She's just praying over it. Back here like this man that works all over and has done stuff and is doing stuff right now, this young handsome man that's probably retired, ooh, but he's still got Lynda-itis, amen. Or this young beautiful woman who's a retired grandma, you already done lost your husband, but you got a grandbaby coming up to live for, don't you?
Yeah.
We're going to take some steps for that grandbaby. Yeah. Now listen, I don't care that you've been here all your life, and I love you, but you still have to fast and pray, don't you?
Yep.
Do you?
Yep, I do.
And you do sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
And you've been doing that since you were, don't say how old, but since you were young, right?
I was 17 years old when I became a Christian.
You were 17 years old when you became a Christian. Did you backslide?
No, I did not.
So you've been living for God all your life? And you still fast and pray?
Yes, I do.
And you still learn?
Yes, I do.
Secrets revealed. Whether I'm old or young, if I want to be successful in my natural job or in my spiritual assignments, fast and pray, repent. And get yourself out of stuff that people make you believe God's in, but he ain't even nowhere close. It makes him regurgitate. Puke. That's what the Lord does over some things we're joined with. I won't name them organizations in public, but believe me, they're everywhere. We sign up like we're signing up to play bowling league, and we go to this stuff like we're going out to some kind of God event that's focused on men. It's trash. Get rid of that stuff. Guy I really wanted to get on left. Maybe he heard the Holy Ghost. No, I'm just kidding. But I came back here to say this. It doesn't matter if you sit in the back of the church or in the front of the church. Fasting, praying, and studying the Bible is your secret-wielded weapon that'll make you throw down in the kingdom of darkness so good that the devils will be afraid of you, and they will say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. And now they say, Pastor Philip, I know. And not too long from now, they'll say, Derek, I know. I remember your name. Now, here's what I'm almost done, babe. I'm done, I promise you. We'll be done by 12 o'clock. No, you're not. I know you're cool, but 11:52, 8 minutes will be new beginnings at 12 noon. Breeze, God, a day of foundations, and I'll be done by then. I just got to deal with this labor part one more time. Paul was not proud of his labor in anywhere except for in the Word of God. Remember, he said, I've counted all things lost. He had some of the greatest warring moments. He was a Roman soldier. He's the only man I know that could repeatedly stone and kill Christians and God not kill him himself. He's the only one that survived. Look it up. There's other men that went out and killed Christians. Guess what? They died for it. And people wanted him to die because even when the Lord came and said, go pray for him, people were like, he said, this is the man that's been messing us up. Go get him. He's mine. God had to look to and fro to get someone that would pray for Paul because Paul was such a mess that even the man that went from Ananias, a certain disciple, I don't want to, but I guess I will. Amen. Amen. Kill. Why can't we stone him like he stoned us? That's the Bible. The Bible says what you sow is what you reap. It's time for that dude to get his harvest. He's been killing us. Now he's revealed. Kill him, God. No, Paul, I got to serve him. He's my servant. I got an assignment for him. I pray that God gives us assignments like Paul, where we will labor for him and not quit, not give up. And so he can take our past and throw it all away and turn the rest of our life into such good outpouring. Nobody can even remember that Paul was the killer of the Christians except for in the church. Because everybody else remembers what Paul did for the kingdom. Amen? Now, I guess we're going to have to roll this scripture into next week because I do got to keep my obligation here. I got something to do after church, and I want to make sure I stay on track. Plus, don't we have a baby, a life celebration? What time does that start? Woo! See, I knew I was finishing for something. I got to finish up quick because I'm going to eat at that. You guys do got food. Are you bringing food? Huh? Woo! Some of you who don't know me, I'll tell you my salvation story later while it locked in. Because I think I need one more scripture somewhere in, is it 2 Thessalonians 3:10? 2 Thessalonians 3:10? Is that where it says that worse than an infidel? Something like that. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Help me. Woo! For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Boy, my dad could quote that scripture if he couldn't quote anything else. Shakalaloko. Go to the next one. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but our busybodies. Now stay right there just for a minute. Stay there. Don't go to 12 yet. We started at number 10, 11. 12 is going to be our finisher for today. Don't put it up there yet. So first of all, we learned in the first scripture, okay? Can you go back to the first one? Okay. For even when we were with you, this is we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. He's talking about people in the church. And he's not talking about you just physically working. He is talking about you physically working because the church will help you when you need it. But you better not be some sad sack lazy bum that's outside of the church saying, well, the church will give me free food, so I ain't going to work. Better not be why you're asking. If you're asking, it's because you're in a place of need. And we will lift you up and support you while you're going through that need. I don't care if you're going through that need 10, 12, 100 times we'll lift you up and support you. Huh? Oh, thank you, baby. That's what I'm looking for. But we'll stay on this one for a minute. I think the infidel one I'll do next week. Let's stay on this one for a minute right now. Honey, you might want to put that out on Facebook that they need to prioritize that scripture for next Sunday. That one you just gave me, 2 Corinthians, what is it? 6:15, yeah. That should be on Facebook saying, remember, Pastor Phil's going to preach about this one next week. Is that okay? That's your idea. You told me you wanted to post scriptures on Facebook for Chris coming or something, right? We'll talk later. Still your idea. Still your idea. So that's this one real quick. So a man that will not labor shall not eat. That's both in the physical and the spiritual realm. Again, here we got the same problem. We hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. So now we have those people that, yes, they've been reading the scriptures and they want to come up and give a word, but they're so busybody, gossiping. What's Pastor been doing this week? I saw his car at the church. Was he there with guys or with a girl or what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. I'm so holy. Blah, 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 blah. I've been fasting. Blah, 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 busybody. What's she going? Busybody. Stop it. You're trashing your testimony. You're trashing yourself. You're trashing the scripture. Listen, if you're going to study properly and labor properly, you cannot be reading the scripture, praying in the Holy Ghost, and tail-bibbering and busybodying and then getting in people's business. Stop! When someone comes up to you and say, hey, have you heard this about Logonio? That's what I call it. I shorten it sometime and say Logo. Logo, Logan, go. Go to where the Lord wants you. Logan, go. Resurrected in the power of Jesus. Go into the heavens with your worship. Go, Logo. He don't even know why I call him Logo. He thinks it's a typo. Wait. What happened?
He said, why does he call me that? And I said, I don't know.
Woo, now you know. Logo, Logan, go into the realm of worship. Keep your family safe. Pray, worship, Logan, go. Go, keep going where God's taking you. See, now you guys will start saying, oh, no, I thought that was a mistake. He's calling me that on purpose. I wonder what it means. Mr. Low Master, one time I mistakenly wrote and called him Slow Master because in order for Mr. Low Master to humble himself or lower himself to the master and come up in his perfection, he needs to slow down sometimes and just go and sit in the Word. Now I've outran my time for today. So let's go to Scripture 12. Let's go to, what does it say? Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Why should I have to hear a bunch of attitude? We're having a meeting and you got to pop off. I want this, I want that. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Quietly eat the word of God. Eat your own bread. Stay yourself up out my business. Stay yourself up out my business. Go eat your own bread. I'll eat my own bread. And when we walk in the unity of God, we'll have outreaches that people come to in droves. Miss Linda, we're going to eat our own bread today, aren't we? I think me and you, Brother Brian, where's she at, Ashley, our angel? We were eating our own unique bread this morning, weren't we? But anyhow, listen to this. Fast, pray, study. Don't worry about people. Pray for them. Love them. Don't get preconceived notions and ideas. Just like this, if I call you and you're crying and you don't want me to know, I'm going to know. Just say, Pastor, I don't want to talk to you about it right now. But don't get offended. Don't get hurt. Because if I talk to you and I'm your soul protector like the way God wants me to, you can't sit there and say, everything's good. What's up? Shane, how many times have you tried to pretend with me? Not like on purpose, but you know what I'm saying, like you didn't want me to know something. Or you didn't want me to know you were in a bad shape, and I would call you. Did it how many times?
Every time.
So every time you're in a bad place, it seems like that's when I pick to call you, and you're like, why couldn't he call me last week when I was ready to give a testimony? Because I already seen that, Shane, and I'm excited for it. Go, Shane, get down with your bad, good self. We'll explain that later, cultural thing. I seen you, Shane. I love you. But I reach for you when you need picked up, turned around, and sat back on solid ground. So if I don't call you when you're having the best week of your life, and then I call you when you're having the worst week, and you get a little emotional, it's okay. I believe in you. I love you. And really what the problem is, I know your future and I know who you are. So I'm so excited that sometimes I want to interject too soon. But if you let me know, hey, cool it, dude, then I can back off a little bit. Honey, are those my prayer requests? Okay. Okay. Don't you have to back me off sometime or say, honey, get quiet or come on, let's relax a little bit.
What? Say it. We're having quiet time right now, which means don't talk to anymore. You talk to...
Praise the name of the Lord. Now stay with me. We're finishing. I'm about ready to go in the quiet time. Y'all going to be talking about that baby and I'm going to be behind your back. Maybe that's the only way you can keep my mouth shut is to feed me. Baby, feed me. Listen to what it says. Now them that are such, we commend, exhort to do quietly they and eat their own bread. So you have to study to show yourself approved. You have to learn how to work around others like you get to in the church. You have to overcome your fears and anxieties and know that we love you while you're in the process. And don't be a complainer, a murmur, or a tail biter. Some of you, I won't put hands on anybody right now, but there's people that's actually been in this church that thought they knew more or as much as me about the direction they saw the church going.
Know more about the word than you.
There are people that know more about the word than me. But when this anointing's here and I'm spitting, you don't know squat compared to what I know. It's true. In your own study time, know as much as you want. If you want to talk about me as a pastor, go start your own church. But don't talk about this pastor in this church. Because the authorities here is already set. God, me, and this sweetie pie. If you don't like it, those doors open and close the same way. Whether you're coming in or going out. I can't talk this way in front of her because she... Shut up, stop. Now listen, eat your own bread. Work in here. And then in the Lord, pray at home, fast at home. Set yourself some prayer times, some schedule. Be a real person about this, okay? I got to back down a little bit. Time for me to shut up. Infidels next week. Shakala lokoro baha. Say, I will not be an infidel. On purpose or even by accident. Pastor Phil's going to help me next week know how not to do that. So I've run my mouth enough. Obviously, my wife says so. But listen to me. I love you. If we're not your cup of tea, we love you and support you going to another church. If we are your cup of tea, then you're meant to be here. Listen, if you come in here and you like that fireball and you can put up with this squeaky mouth fireball and it don't bother you, bam-o, you're part of this church. Get here, be here, stay here, and we're going to run. Whoa. Hey, we're going to run all up against the kingdom of darkness, and we're going to win. I said we're going to win. Prayer request, Kansas. I have to look that up because I don't know what a CNA certificate. Certified what? Wow. Candace, we got a beautiful RN in here that could probably help you. I don't care where she is. If she can live stream, she can hear, and she has the power to get back where she belongs. In Ohio. Maybe not next door. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for Candace right now, God. Father, anoint her with the wisdom. God, first of all, to truly, truly submit to you as Lord and Savior. God, that not that she is, but that none of us would play games with you, God. None of us would be back and forth and in and out and only pray when we think we can get something from you, God. But God, I pray that not only are you anointing Kansas for this, you're healing her, God, restoring her soul, refreshing her. And God, this CNA, non-disclosure agreement, this CNA, certified nursing assistant, let her just be anointed to do this. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Marie. Praise God. Marie, can you come sit here for a minute? I know. I just want you to come over here. Come over here, please, and help me pray for her. She's standing in. Yes, for the other Marie. Amy, just put your hand on her since you've had a lot of back pain, we're not making you too uncomfortable, are we? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand in agreement for Marie, God. And Father, right now, pain, whatever in her body, her back, God, issues in her immune system, issues with her body, Father. Lord, I curse the root of every one of these things, God. And I command right now in the name of Jesus for all that to come out in Jesus' name. Right now, we loose, God, all that's required, Father. Just like we're standing here as a group, 1, 2, 3, 4. and Marie, the one we're praying for, making an agreement of five, God's grace, Lord, through her back, through her injuries, God, Father, from a broken past, from any aspect of what she's hurting from, not just physically, but even in her soul. God, we declare healing. Let her be made whole, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you, guys. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray blessing over the house today. Father, I pray that every one of us, God, would just receive you and move further with you. And God, I just do one more thing here. If there be anyone in this church right now that says, Pastor, I'm not saved, I'm backslidden, I know Jesus, but I'm not serving him, I'm going to tell you that today I'm not going to make you come up front. I'm telling you that ahead of time. I just need to see a quick lifted hand. If you're backslidden, if you're returning to the Lord today, if you've never been saved, you want to be saved, any of that kind of stuff, if that's you, but you want to be saved today and you want to really give your heart to the Lord, on the count of three, let me see your hand. One, two, three. Hands up. One, two, three. I see that hand. I see those hands. God bless you. Put them down. Now, as a church together, because we don't need to reveal anybody's situation, right? As a church together, say this prayer with me. Even if you didn't put your hand up and you thought I was going to surprise you by making you come up front, even if you didn't put your hand up, but you want to say this prayer, say it with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. I forget my past. I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I put away my old life. And I do this for a year. And see where I end up. In Jesus' name, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hey, now I'm going to bless the offering and you're going to bring your offering up. But while I'm doing that and while I'm dismissing, you guys are going to have worship and you're going to come give your offerings, because I saw a little vision of New Hope Church. And we prayed for them last week, but the Lord told me to do it again for them this week and one more time next week. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Pastor Jason Manns, me and you, dude, get ready to run. All right. So while you guys are bringing that up and put the offering buckets out, I'm just going to be right here praying for our sister church, New Hope up north, and every church in this area, just for blessing. Come on, bring the buckets up. You're fine. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for Jason and Meg Manns. We thank you, God, for New Hope. We thank you for their building process, God. It's always going to have battles with it, but it's also a blessing. And Lord, I pray that they come through this thing, Father. Lord, they first thought, hey, Easter Sunday of last year, but Lord, these processes are what they are. We're praying over them, God, that whether it be October, November, December, that New Hope would finish their building in the name of Jesus. Lord, you would help them. And God, just like we're taking up our offering right now, I believe that we're just seeding the atmosphere for whatever they need to come in, to come in. And God, for them to be healed as a church, for them to be blessed, for them to be the people that they're supposed to be to carry your mantle, God. Just like they're up north doing their part, we want to be at the south of the city doing our part. You guys are supposed to be bringing your offering. Pray music. Play music. You're not supposed to sit through my prayer. Come on. Father, we just pray blessing over just New Hope, but every church in this city, Father. We just pray blessing over them, God. We just pray that as you are meeting our needs and as we sow, God, you're releasing into the individual's life what they need and into the church what is needed. And Lord, I just thank you right now that under this anointing, that New Hope and every church out there that is needing healed and growing in finances, God, it's just happening to them right now in Jesus' name. And God, we declare your glory. Father, I thank you, just like you've been so faithful to us, Father. We moved into this new building. You've blessed us. You just keep growing us. Father. Lord, we just declare your goodness. Amen. Other than the person we're praying for is Lisa, right? And we're praying for healing. I've been praying for her all service throughout. I've had these prayer cloths in my pocket to prove it. But here's the deal, Angel. One is for her. And then I don't know if it's 3, 4, 5, or 10, but the other ones you have to give to somebody. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put Lisa before you and we curse this sickness. Now let's go back into worship for just a minute to end. Release, you can go at any time. They're getting set up.